Hello, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel again. And in this video, I'm saying Requiescat in Pace Anne Cluett. I hope I pronounce her name correctly, née Anne Lewis. So she's died recently at the age of 86, so best known as being a socialist parliamentarian. So she's born in the United Kingdom in 1937 into a proletarian family. And these days, most MPs, Labour MPs, come from very bourgeois backgrounds, but not her. And she was the first one in her family to go on to tertiary education. Of course, she was one of the beneficiaries of the Butler Education Act, although actually passed by Richard Austin Butler. You know, he's the Conservative cabinet minister who shepherded it through Parliament, although Labour likes to take most of the credit for that one. Anyway, so she represented, I hope I pronounced it correctly, Cynon Valley, or is it Cynon Valley, from 1984 until she stood down 2019, one of the oldest MPs that there was. But she never achieved advancement. She was too honest to be promoted, a woman of unswerving integrity, so independent-minded, forthright, vociferous, principled. So she earned even the unwilling respect of her most implacable political foes. Anyway, so yeah, she's born in, where was it, Flintshire, which is in rural Wales. And then she went on to the University of Wales in Bangor, which is also the same part of Cymru from which she hailed. So she taught briefly before joining the British Broadcasting Corporation as a studio manager. She was a journalist for The Guardian newspaper, the main left-wing broadsheet, and then the Observer, which was The Guardian's really Sunday edition in the 60s, in the 70s, a time of political turbulence. There was great upheaval, particularly in Wales. There was a Labour government for some time, and one of the most prominent Labour politicians back then was George Thomas. Tommy Twice, as he's known, because his real name's Thomas George Thomas, but he went by his middle name, George, who also hailed from the Principality, was Secretary of State for Wales, and it was his bright idea to have Prince Charles invested as the Prince of Wales at Caernarvon Castle in August 1969, and that some of the oath was administered in the Welsh tongue. And George Thomas, he administered the oath. He later became Viscount Pope Tony Pandy after his Speaker of the House of Commons. But there were controversies and difficult things. The Aberfan disaster, which struck Wales when a Welsh village was flooded to provide a reservoir for Liverpool and so on. They led to a recrudescence of Welsh separatism. But she eschewed that. She was a socialist and she wanted to keep the United Kingdom together. So she never wavered in that. And she's often on the left of the Labour Party. So she's part of, the great and the good, part of civil society outside the strictly party political sense. But she was convinced that she ought to allow her name to go forward. And she fought two seats unsuccessfully, Denbigh and later an English seat, Gloucester, in 1974. She was elected to the European Parliament for Wales from 1979 to 84. 1979 being the first time people were directly elected to the European Parliament. Prior to that time, national parliaments had elected people, not the public. And then when John Evans died, she took over that Labour seat, won a by-election. So she held various shadow positions in the Labour government. And she was in shadow Welsh secretary briefly in the 90s. But she clashed with successive Labour leaders. Anyway, she was long an advocate for human rights in Iraq. She fearlessly denounced genocide against the Kurds, perpetuated by the Socialist Party of Arab Resurgence, that Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party, when some leftists wanted to find a kind word to say for him. And so that's why she believed that Iraq must be liberated. There mustn't be this genocide. It must never be allowed to happen again. And that's why, unusually for someone on the left, she was outspoken in saying, yes, Iraq must be liberated in March 2003, even though there's not another United Nations resolution. Iraq was in breach of so many United Nations Security Council resolutions, which are international law, which China voted for, which Russia voted for, and so on, warning of serious consequences were Iraq not to fully and unequivocally and promptly cooperate with Hans Blix, the United Nations weapons inspector. And as this fulsome cooperation wasn't forthcoming, as they played cat and mouse with the weapons inspector for over 12 years, therefore Iraq must be liberated by force to ensure there were no weapons of mass destruction. Now, people say they haven't been found. Well, some weapons of mass destruction were found, a fraction of what might have been found. And just because they haven't been located since doesn't prove they're not there. They could be somewhere in the deserts of Iraq, accidentally destroyed in the war, spirited across the border. I don't know. But it behoved the Iraqi regime to verifiably disarm, to prove this to the weapons inspectors, which didn't happen. So it was justified multiple times over. And obviously the war was started by the Ba'athist regime, partly attacking American troops in Kuwait even days before the war happened, as well as signally failing to cooperate with the weapons inspectors and carrying on fighting against the liberation forces for years afterwards. Some of the Shia and Sunni extremist Al-Qaeda elements, as well as Ba'athist remnants. So she was unswerving in her belief that liberating Iraq had been the right thing to do when most on the left were determined to save a genocidal regime. So she had got up the nose of the Foreign Office sometimes. She'd gone into Kurdistan, which is in northern Iraq, without permission. And she'd observed the Turkish army's incursion there to try and defeat the Kurds. So she was known as for being part of the international the Select Committee on International Development for many years. She was a stalwart defender of the National Health Service, but she publicly criticised it, saying it was really substandard in Wales, which was obviously deeply disobliging to the Labour administration there and led to her being denounced in the Welsh Parliament for saying that, because they felt this was really grist to the mill for the Conservatives. She'd spoken out against female genital mutilation before this was such a popular cause. So she was happily married for many, many years, although I don't think she had children, but her husband died quite a few years ago. So she was the Right Honourable Anne Clwyd. And she was one of those people who, before the vote on Iraq on St. Patrick's Day 2003, she brought some Kurdish women into Parliament to convince some of the wavering Labour MPs that really that the Kurds must be lifted from the threat of genocide ever again, and the Iraqis must be freed. Then they get a freedom of speech and you know, the free ballot and all the rest of it. Now, you might say that's not strictly what the war was about. Okay, but it's one of the concomitant benefits. And the problems have arisen since, partly because of Iranian interference. Obviously, the United Nations resolution authorizing the provisional government there, which handed over to the Iraqi people. They had an election and so on. And there was violence for a long time, as there had been violence for decades beforehand. They've been fighting in Kurdistan for decades beforehand. There have been rebellions by Shia in the south, by Marsh Arabs and so on. They've been fighting against Iran, but actually it subsided to almost nothing now. And we often don't ask about Iraq. What went right? Is one of the few functioning democracies in the Arab world, and it's actually a fairly prosperous country. But the war is entirely the fault of the Ba'athist regime. And so she was gallant, she was morally courageous in saying all this when it was deeply unfashionable on the left. She was a conviction politician. She was too moral and she was too honorable to gain advancement, because there are many who'll say just anything to grub for votes, or be a sycophant who'll be guilty of chicanery just to get up the slippery pole, but not her. She's sorely missed, and they don't make many of them like her anymore. Thank you. By the way, new shirt. You've never seen this one before. Goodbye.